I say, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. We are continuing on a series of teaching that we've been doing for over, this is the fourth week we've been doing this series of teaching. And whenever I try to finish it, the Holy Spirit keeps bringing me back to it. So I believe that it's been beneficial to each and every one of us. So I'll give it one more stab and try to conclude it again today. Amen? And we'll be talking about dealing wisely. To do what? To deal wisely. It's very, very critical, very important in life. Very important in life. And our text has been taken from the book of Proverbs 13, verse 20. Can you all see the board? Is it okay? Okay. It says that he who walks with the wise will be what?
Wise.
Will be wise. But the companion of a fool will be what?
Destroyed.
Will be destroyed. So that's what we've been talking about. It says that the way to be wise is to walk with other wise people. And we also established that the greatest wise person, the wisest one that we can walk with is God. So we said, so that the best thing that can happen to you is to walk with God. And then we delve in a little bit to begin to see. We said that, well, but God is a spirit. And we are flesh. So how does a human being who is flesh walk with a spirit? Praise the Lord. So we said that's one of the greatest things that God did for us. Because God loves us so much. And he knew that we need his wisdom to be able to live in this world. The first thing he made us, he made us be like him. So for a man, we use the animals. For an animal to begin to walk with a man and begin to get a wisdom of a man, that what must happen first is that animal must become a human being. Because there's no way, no matter how much you love your animal, no matter how good your animal is, first of all, if you can't sit in that, no matter what you teach him, he cannot become like you. He can't grow in the wisdom that you have. So you can't leave one day and say, this dog has been here for 30 years or for 15 years, cook stew, cook plantain, cook rice, and then you come back, you say, where is the thing that I told you to cook? There's a limit. You can't go because it's what? It's an animal. So if you want him to be like you, the first thing you do first is make him a human being. So that's why even a child that is 3 months old, he has a chance of knowing the things that you know when you're 50. All you now have to do is feed him and teach him. He can become like you. He can think like you because he started as a human being. So what God did for us, first of all, is that in Christ Jesus, in his dying on the cross for us, anyone that has given himself to Christ, that has accepted him, he made him to become what? A child of God. So that's what I'm just capping up on what we went on, because if I go back to that again, I'll never finish this teaching. But anyway, so in Christ now, you have become like God. He says that you have been joined with Christ, so you have become what? One spirit. He didn't say you have become one flesh, because he's a spirit. So now that you are a spirit, and your spirit of God is in you, now you can be wise like God. Now God can teach you. But before that spirit, he can't teach you. Because you are not like him. And we also talked about that he can also give you his inheritance. We said that if you have a dog, no matter how good that dog is, you cannot be dying and then take all your inheritance and then call him in the room and say, look, I have 30 million. I want you to make sure that this person goes to school. I want you to make sure that this house is paid for. I mean, people just begin to laugh and say that you have lost him. After you finish saying that to the dog, they'll pull the dog around, cover you too, and change what they need to do. So it's only a human being, a child, that you also bring in. As a matter of fact, you know that sometimes when people are dying, they can have a child that all their life, they say that child is crazy, he's no good. But when they die, they say, does he have a child? Go and find that child and do what? And bring it. So that he can give him his inheritance. So also inheritance of God, he gives it to people that has the same spirit as like him. That's why a man must be born again to inherit the kingdom of what? If he does, he can't, because God is not going to take his inheritance and give it to a dog. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, there was a woman who was called a Syrophoenician woman that came to Christ with his child. He was crying. He says that, God, Christ, help me to heal this child. But God says to him that, he says, I did not come for you. He said, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. So the woman even begins to cry. He said, even the crumb of the food that falls on the ground, the dogs can do what? Eat it. So God says, it's not your inheritance. Since the children of Israel. So you understand that as Gentiles, before Christ, we were with no hope. We were with no God. We had no covenant with God. We couldn't inherit anything of God. Because the covenant was with the Israelites. The covenant was with Abraham and his children. So, but then in Christ Jesus, he says that separation wall was what? He said it was broken down. He said now Jews and Gentiles, now if they come through Jesus Christ, they too can inherit. So even now, that's why it's foolish. Some people are stuck. They say, we're the nation of Israel, they are of God. If an Israelite, because it has changed, if he too, because God said, I've made a new covenant. If he too does not come to Christ, that covenant that God had with them before is obsolete. He's old. He cannot inherit God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. So those are the things we're talking about. And say that's what makes us now we can. And so I'm telling you, you have the Spirit of God in you because you're a child of God, and God can speak to you, and you can learn, and you can become wise. So because we have been joined in Christ, we can do that. Because now the Bible says it's not an issue of laboring anymore. It becomes now an issue of believing that Christ is in you, and because Christ is in you, you have the same Spirit that God, you can hear God. As a matter of fact, that's why this morning you are sitting here to hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. So the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 24, it says now you have a new nature. He said, put it on. He says what? Put it on. He said, and that you put on the what? The new nature. Give me a New King James. NLT. Is that? No, give me NLT. He said, now you should put it on. So now, in Christ Jesus, he has died on the cross. He has fulfilled the works. That nature is now available. He says, all those accept them. He has given them the right to become what? Sons of God. So you, when you came, he says, I believe in Jesus Christ. I give my life. That's why we say, how do you give your life to Jesus? He said, with the mouth, the person proclaims that Jesus is his Lord. And he believed that is what? He said, he'll be saved. It's not how far you have fasted that saves you. It's not how many prayers you pray that saves you. Because you cannot buy the salvation. You did not do the salvation. It's not your work. Salvation is something you accept by faith. So he says, now when you accept that, he says you have a new person, you are a new creation. He says if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he has become what? A new creation. He says now put on that your new creation. Now when he says put on, he says a spirit, you can't well. He said now begin to believe what he has said. That's what putting on him. You know the Bible says that all things are possible for who believes. He said now believe, put it on. He said, this person put it on because it is created to be what? Like God. So don't be afraid to be confident and say that you'll be like God. It's not heresy. That's what the Bible says. If you have a son and the son never agrees that he's your child, is he going to take anything of yours? The son has to say, that's my father. Religion confuses people. They think they are being holy. But then they walk around not receiving and not living what God has already given them. And every day they say, God, come and walk. God, come. Christ came and left and he's living inside of you. He's not coming again until he's coming only to take you to heaven. But he said, now that you live in this world, he said that you should live in victory. He said you should reign because you have received the gift of righteousness and of grace. He said, now you can reign. So he said, put on that new man. He's like God in true righteousness and what? And holy. So you are holy. No, some of you are saying, Pastor, please stop saying this kind of thing. Because you're looking at yourself. You're not putting on the new nature of what he has said. Believe what God has told you. Believe whose daughter you are. Believe whose son you are. Act like his son. So if he tells you, go ahead to the store and carry food and come back. I own food over there. You walk and start going there. You know there's something, it was modeled in the Bible. I'm not even getting to what I want to teach. It was modeled in the Bible. You know that Jesus Christ, he says that in the book of John, I think it's verse 12. I'm not sure. But someone might have heard a story. I know. He says that what happened was that he told his disciples, he says, you people go to town, and when you go there, you are going to see a man that is carrying a jug. He says, follow him wherever he enters. Tell him that the master said you should show us where we're going to have the Passover. Do you know that his disciples never asked him, well, we have never been in this town before. How would we know this man? How would we? Immediately he said it, because they have called him Lord and they have called him Master. Immediately he said it went. And when they saw a man, like he said, they said, the Master said you should show us where to have what. And he says, come, let me show you. They could have sat back there and be saying, well, Lord, how are we going to know them? He said, no, when you go there, you see a man carrying a job. That's enough description. So God says, I've given you my spirit. He doesn't need to come and be somersaulting. Some of you are waiting for him to come to your bed when you're sleeping. Some of you believe dreams that more than the word of God. So the devil will be using all kinds of dreams and be putting fear all over your life. Because that's what you want. He gives it to you. That's what you want. But he said it. He told them. They didn't start waiting. Well, let us dream. Let us say. No, they said, the Master, the Lord, born again, giving my life to Christ. He's my Master. He's my Lord. He said, walk into the town. They didn't start saying, there was another man that came before that was saying he was the Messiah. Because you know the Bible says that there was another man that had come before. He says that he said that he was the Messiah, but he says that they railed him and killed him and all his followers ran away. They didn't start saying, well, there was another man that has come before. He said he was Messiah, and then they killed him. And now you're just telling us these things. No. That's why also you shouldn't follow the Master. You know, there's this my cousin. This is how he believed the Lord and his leg break. No. That's not what he said. Praise the Lord. So, put it on. Everybody say, put it on.
Put it on.
Put it on. That's where you start. So, I was leaving this morning, I put on my suit. Everybody said, you put on your own. Looking real cool. That's right. And then you come out. Nobody put it on for me. Nobody. I put it on. Because I knew I had it. It was in my closet. I put it on. So you have it. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. It says, Christ, who did what? Who died for us, that whether we wake... I put in Amplify. What happened? Put Amplify for me, please. I'm so proud of this young man. Do you know that since, because we don't have a permanent place, on Saturday evening, they come and they gather and they practice for this singing. I'm sure you've seen that it's not yet perfect. They gather, they practice, and they practice. That is, they bring out all these things from my truck. They practice, finish, and know what they're going to sing. And then they pack it again and put it inside. And early morning, by 8 o'clock, they are here unpacking it and packing all those things out and entering the things that I've given them, entering everything to make sure. Because I tell them, I say, see, this is how people grow. I tell them that when you want to do everything, you do it proper. So now they are learning that and they are doing that and they are committing themselves. Now it becomes easy when he marries a wife. Even if it becomes difficult, he can commit to her. People think that is that you start telling him, commit. No. It is Lent. So they're doing it. So look at young people, 14 years old, 15. In the night, they come there. Yesterday night, I was so tired. I told them, I'm going to sleep. I don't have the strength. They said, don't worry, Pastor, go to sleep. By the time I got up the morning, they packed everything, finished, put it. So God will bless you guys. Amen. God will bless you. God bless. I appreciate it. So when you see them miss this thing sometimes, we are moving. Isn't even amazing. The first couple of weeks of church, we were scrabbling trying to find it. Okay? So the young shall what? And we are growing. 8 weeks later, isn't that amazing? I want you to begin to bless God for what he's using you to do. I need you to understand what is happening here. What God is doing through you. What God is helping. What God is doing through you. It's amazing. It's amazing. You think it's easy? So I want you to begin to bless God that God found you at this time and is opening your eyes for you to embrace and build. I was sharing with the men yesterday. We had our men's meeting. And I said, I'm a real estate developer. And what happens is that when I start building and I dig a foundation, most of the time, even if I started during the rainy season, and then we are digging foundations, and unfortunately it rains heavily. I say, if you show up to that site the next morning, you just want to quit. You want to quit because the water, every place, they will start carrying water. There's mud all over the place. You will never imagine what will come up there. But before we start building it, I've already done a rendering of what that house is going to be like when I finish. I set my hope on that thing that I'm seeing. So that rain can be falling all in one. When I come, the mud is all over my feet. We'll be cleaning it. We'll put the foundation. Now, as a matter of fact, when we are doing foundation, we put the price of the house low. We say, if you come and buy it, why is that muddy? Why we're building? We say, we'll discount it $40,000. Do You know that people would say no. Then 4 months later, I start looking into it. They come and pay us an extra 40,000. They couldn't see. So what God is using you to do is opening your eyes. You can see. So some people would say, ah, you know, I just want to go to the place, the choir. When they're singing, you start just sleeping and just dancing. But you are saying, no, I want to be blessing the Lord. So God is teaching you to praise. God is teaching you to pray. God is teaching you your joy. So you are being built. So finally, the person that's running away, when that house is not looking good, when the person look at it, he will just think that it happens. But praise the Lord. So Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can do what? We can live with him. He died whether we are alive or dead. We might live with him. So Hebrews 3, 7 to 8 began to say, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, Hebrews. That's not Hebrews. Thank you. He said, therefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today, if you will hear his voice, do what? Verse 8. Do not harden your heart. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. As you're here to put on this, you're here to trust God, you're here to believe his word, don't harden your heart. Don't let something tell you we're bought. No, don't do that. He says, because what happened, verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial, in the wilderness. Say, what happened then when I was taking the children of Israel out? I keep telling them I'll lead you to the promised land. But no matter what I'm doing, they keep having reservation. No matter what I'm doing, they keep saying but. No matter, I'll bring meat in the middle of the desert. But very little thing they say but. He said, because of that, a journey of 11 days took them what? He says, even the people that started that journey, he said, none of them saw what I wanted to give them. So don't be that person. Don't be that person. So how do we walk wise? Now that we know that we can, now that we know we have the spirit, now that we know how do we walk wise? We must develop our spirit. Everybody say, develop my spirit. You must develop your human spirit that he can hear the voice of God. Because now you're not a dog anymore. You're a spirit. You're not just a human being. That's what the Bible says, that you prosper as your spirit and as your body and as your soul does what? There's another part of you. That's why now you can be, that's why you can walk with God. Without that part, you couldn't. So God made that part. You didn't do anything. He says, so now you need to develop to hear the voice of God. We do this by believing what God has said. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. He said, and since we have the same spirit of what? Of faith. According to what is written, I believe, and therefore what? And if you were here in the morning during the Sunday school, he says that when you believe, speak it. He says we have the same spirit of faith. You have a spirit of faith. Same spirit that Christ had. You know that Christ was a human, because the Bible tells us that he said he was tired and he wanted to rest. He said he was hungry and he sent to get him food. Praise the Lord. I said, what if when they pierced his body, he said that blood came out. Even before then, they said when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, his own tears were like what? He was human. The Son of God, but he took the body of human like yours. So he had to trust the Holy Spirit. He had to have faith. He says, so since we have the same faith, the same spirit of faith, not just faith, the same spirit, you have it. He said, according to what is in. So I believe, therefore I do what? So listen to me. It is not crazy when I come and I'm doing a business and I'm holding my business, I'm doing it, and things are shaking, and I tell you that this business has prospered. I'm not being crazy. It has happened many times to me. It just happened. It just happened. My sister-in-law here, do you know a lot of people go to Nigeria to do business? As a matter of fact, when they come, I went to Nigeria to do business. My sister-in-law, they started shouting, calling my wife. They said, does your husband know what he's doing? Say, nobody comes here and live with their leg together, putting all this money. I said, and is this little boy that he's spending, some young boy that I was standing with? But we never knew what God was doing. That was 2003. By now, I'm not active in Nigeria. By last year, when I'm moving out of Nigeria, I've made so much money in Nigeria, it's unbelievable. Not doing much. I've got to a place where I went to a place, a land where people are paying millions. And they gave it to me for nothing. And I did not know anybody. I knew God. And I said that it is my business. It will do what? It will prosper. I believed, because God said, blessed is that man. He said he does not sit in the council of the ungodly, But he believes the words that God has what? Said. That's what he believed. He said that what will happen is that he will prosper. He says, so because of that, what do we speak? Don't go around your life speaking unbelief. Don't be looking at a situation and be speaking. When situations speak, speak what God has said. Because the Bible says, God says that my counsel will stand. It's not the counsel of this world that will stand. It's God's counsel. Situations are speaking. Your environment are speaking. You too speak. Romans chapter 6. Chapter 8 verse 6, sorry. Develop your spirit. Begin to believe what God said. That's how you develop your spirit. Begin to believe it. It doesn't happen overnight. People keep thinking that when they come, the pastor just lay hands on them, everything falls away. Then some pastors have taken advantage of that, making merchandise of you. Listen to you, just laying hands of you. There are some things that will go, if you leave, immediately leave, they're waiting at the door because you have to deal with life. They will crop right back into your life. Verse 6. Okay, that's not the version I ended on. For to be carnally minded is what? Is dead. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is life and peace. Look at how my book there. Say, so NLT. Letting your sinful nature control you leads to death. Put NLT for me. So letting your sinful nature. See, in the morning we were talking about this, and whenever people hear sinful. See, the Bible teaches, it says that whatsoever is not done of faith, it is what? It's sin. That's what the Bible says. So when the Bible is saying sinful nature, it's not saying that you're committing what people call sin, you know. It's not that. All it's saying is that if you begin to act contrary to what God has said, he says if it controls your mind, that what it will lead to is what? He said you won't get the answer. He said they will defeat you. That's what it's saying. It's not saying that you're committing what we call sin. Don't steal. Don't have another. No, it's not the moral code. So he said, but letting the spirit do what? Control your mind. It will lead you what? It will lead you to life. Who is letting it? I want you to read it. It's not God. Because he has done. He has given you the spirit. You have it. He has done his work. He said his work is completed. And you have received that spirit for free. And you can do it. That's why the Bible says you can do all things through what? Through Christ. That's it. You can do it. So it says, they say, so letting them, you now letting the flesh, you letting your environment now begins to decide your life. He said, look, it's not because I didn't give you power. Or but you can also let the spirit, which is the word, control it. So when they push you, you push back. When they push you, you push back. So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, after you have done all to stand, 6:10, you do what? That's how you stand. Now, if I'm telling you stand, it means that something wants to push you. See, God never told us. He says that in this world, there will be trials, there will be troubles. He said, so a Christian being in this world and not taking victory from this one, just thinking that victory is going to come because he has sang all day in church, the person is not being serious. If they come in him and they find nothing inside there to stand with, they'll push him down. So he said, that's how you do it. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it's like this morning, Sunday school this morning was the first part of my sermon. It says, so, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall do what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? He did. You see, listen, when you read the Bible, you should pay attention. He didn't say that you should drop some words and take some words. You see, the problem is that if you begin to drop some words and take some words, very soon they'll be convincing you to drop more that you're not comfortable with. Drop more. And at one point, in my old church, my pastor used to say that there's this guy that he will read something, he doesn't like it, he will tear it out of his Bible. Then you say all this other one. So if you start going through something, reading one, you say, ah, this cannot be what God is doing. He said, very soon his Bible was completely empty. When he went back there was nothing for him. so he said, by every word that proceeds what? From the mouth of God. So he will say, if he says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. When you go through troubles, begin to thank God. You say, God, I know you're here. Lord, what do we do? Lord, what do we do? You don't start saying, God, where are you? We'll go to the mountain. No, no, no. Because then you're agitated. And if God is talking, have you ever seen a child that is crying? Maybe they hit their leg and you're trying to fix it. They're just erratic crying. You can't fix their leg. You keep telling them, keep it quiet. Keep it quiet so I can do what? Put Band-Aid on it. Healing. So the Bible says that it's the place of quietness that you do what? You possess your possession. There's too much noise. Possessions become very, you're shaking. Even if they give it to you in your hand, it falls off. Because you're erratic. Praise the Lord. So that is, so from everything. So make sure the word of God now becomes your Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And where we are looking, what we have been looking for is we're looking at the first thing. What makes us wise? What makes us wise? He said, but he answered and said, it is written. No, no, no. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. He said, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person does what? If he believes. Can you get it? Mark 9, 23. That's Mark 8. Mark 9, my dear. Yeah. And NLT is fine. That's good. He said, what do you mean if I can what? If I can. See, this person, he came to Jesus asking for, like, now, God says, I've given you a new spirit. God says, I love you. God says, come, I'll heal you. God says, I'll prosper you. God says, I'll be with you. Then you begin to ask, can God really do this thing? I mean, we ask that sometimes pressure comes. I mean, listen, there's life. This time pressure comes, the time you deal with something for so long, the time cares of this world begin to draw you all back and forth. Are you really? It happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. You begin to say, can this thing really be? You know, even the mother of Jesus Christ asked the same thing. When they came to him, he was a virgin. They said that you're going to become pregnant and you're going to have a child, and that child is, he said, Kappa. Can something like that be what? He said, can something like that happen? He knew it was God. God is a creator. God is a creator. He said, what do you mean? Jesus, he said, what do you mean by asking if I can? Jesus said, look, it is up to you. It's up to you. Anything is possible if a person does what? Believes. So don't give up your dreams. Don't give up what you stand for. Don't give up what God has called you. Don't let anything cause you to give up what God. You have seen that this is the will of God for you. Don't. Fight back. You can. Trust in God, because he's working in you. Because he's working in you. Because he's doing what? He's working in me. Say, he's working in me. He's working in me. He's working in me. So Romans 12, verse 2. No, I had entered ERV. I entered ERV. I click on the one I entered. ERV. He said, don't do what? Don't change yourself to be like the people of this world. Don't do what? So now he's telling you. Because now you have a new spirit. Now you have been recreated. He said, you don't go start changing yourself, trying to be like them. He said, me, God, I'm not going to do that. That's why sometimes if you do crazy, you say that maybe that's what God wanted. No. God cannot want good and evil. If you know somebody that wants good and evil, what do you think about that person? He says he's the father of all light. He said there is no iota of change in what? He's not the father of darkness. He's the father of light. So don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world. But do what? Let God. You let him now. Why are you resisting? Why are you fighting everything? Why are you saying, well, he does not understand how much this pain is? Let him now. He has said something. Let him, if he said it now, give him chance. Let him. Let God change you what? Inside with what? A new way of thinking. It is the thinking that is the issue. See this young family over here. I went to visit them. I drove and I drove and I drove and I got to the house. I said, man, this is where you come to church from? I came to their house.
I said, this is where you come from. They said, do you think that it is normal thinking? That makes people, it's not normal thinking. It is somebody letting God says, look, this is what. And you know people when they find a good job or whatever in California, no matter what you're telling them, even their parents, they tell them I'm moving. They say I'm moving. You say, ah, but there are jobs in New Jersey. No? Ah, no, you don't know this job that I found there. Sorry, I'm using California. Their daughter is in California. Detroit. Let me use Detroit. You tell me, you can find jobs in New York. Like my kids are going to university. And I tell them, I say, look, no university goes beyond 4 hours of driving. I say, all the best, if you want any kind of Ivy League, is within, I say, 4 hours, you're not going to say, ah, daddy, I say, this one happened. I'm the one paying, and you're not going beyond 4 hours. But if when we find something that we say, that's what we want, you know, we leave everything behind. But you know the word of God, you can go in the place where you say, ah, this is the place God wants me to be. Say, ah, man, it is so far. That's the reason you leave it, because you have looked at it, you didn't see value, because you're looking by the flesh. Or you come over there and say, ah, they're singing this morning. One person wants to sing, and they put a word. It's not the word they're singing. And if you go to this church, man, their orchestra is so good. But God is telling you, no, this is stay over. And in your heart, if someone say, but I would really like to stay there, but it's just the singing. Abba. I'm telling you, see, it is very important because these things, I break it down because, you see, we can be getting all spiritual. It says that it is small foxes that does what? That spoils the vine. It's not a big thing. I tell people, I say, look, if devil was looking ugly and with horns and come, nobody will follow him. Nobody will follow him. Nobody will follow the dad. We all know how, why would we follow him? I entered the plane one time, and then you know it's first class that is in the front before. So I was sitting down. This lady, I saw him just walking. So he saw these long, big chairs. But he was going to economy. He didn't look at it. He just said, this must be nice. He sat down there. And then, you know, this waitress, they immediately ran. They said, ah, you don't matter. Can we see your ticket? He said, oh, no, he's back there. He's back there. Everybody likes good thing. Are you kidding me? They do. He says, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. It is God that does it. That's why I walk with the wise, you become what? That's why we're walking with God. That's why we're walking with Him. It's not a religious thing that we're walking with Him. That's why we're walking with Him. He said, then you will, that is when you will be able to decide and accept what God wants for you. Now, I don't know what the will of God is for this thing. Have you let Him change your thinking? His way of thinking. Immediately He does that, you will know. Maybe he does that, you know. See, we got ordained in the First Square Church in Orange, and we served there for about 12, 13 years. And so we're first in Newark before we moved to Orange. So our drive to church was a bit long, not as long as these people there, but it was long. And then fuel was $1.80. You guys remember that summer? I think it was the summer of like 2006 or something. All of a sudden, gas went to $4 something. I mean, it has not come down. And then we go to church on Tuesday. Ask them now. We're known in our church now. We go to church on Tuesday. We go to church on Wednesday. We go to church on Thursday. Someday we come to church. It is only me and my family and the pastor. And this was a big church. Then we were driving that back and forth. Then someday I heard somebody complain. He says that, you know, that's why they come all the time, all this drive, the price of fuel and everything. I laughed. Do you know that all through that price of fuel, we're driving all that thing, going back and forth. God was prospering it. I was filling my tank every day. I don't even know that I'm spending money. The ways of God. And somebody was on the side complaining about that fuel is expensive. Even the mileages I was putting in car, do you know I was changing car? I was buying car when I feel like it. And I was not smarter than everybody else. And I was being prospered. And my family was being prospered. You know, I kept him to tell them. I said, we were holding home fellowship in our house every month for complete 12 years. Not even one day that there was any emergency that it didn't happen. That was the power of God. There's no one. And I have little children that get
people's children. My wife is a doctor. They keep saying this one is sick, this one is sick. Not one day that any of my kid, they said that is what? For 12 years. You see, to follow God as a spirit, you walk with him like a spirit, then you begin to see him, then you know God is. You got to have a story. You know that God is. There's no man, I've seen him. So he said, let him now change you. Then you'll be able to decide and accept what God wants for you. You'll be able to know what is good and pleasing what? To him, and what is what? Perfect. Then you begin to live in the will of God. That's how you live in the will of God. You begin to live in the will of God. You begin to live in the will of God. So, finally, I would like to say, and again, I couldn't finish it. I say, I'll take my time. A dog. I should take my time, right? I should take my time. Where am I running now? Are we going to close the church? I'll take my time. So give yourself and saturate yourself with the word of God. That's your victory. I'm telling you, that's your victory. It looks simple, but that's the wise. That's what it is. Working. You can do it now, no? Because you have the spirit. Let no man tell you anything. God is dwelling in you. That's my sister-in-law. When I was looking for her, she went up. God is dwelling in you. He's dwelling in you. So saturate yourself with his word. So now when you hear a voice, you'll be able to distinguish. Finally, the book of Isaiah. And we'll round up with that. Look at what God's saying when you start doing that. He said, what will happen is that your ears shall do what? You shall hear a word. Whenever you come, the road is 2, is 15, is whatever. You will come, you'll be making decisions when people say that, don't do it. Everybody will use their life to give an example. I use what I do. I've come where a deal, everybody say, don't do this deal. They say, this place is dying. Don't do this deal. I'll go back. I'll be sitting with the Lord. I say, Lord. And one morning, I will just be studying my word. Just say, I'll help you do what you need to do. He says that. Look, God told me, he says that he, God, is our exceedingly great reward. See, that's what I told Abraham. He said, I am the source. He said, you will get confused when you have things that has come from the source. You begin to depend on it. He said, it runs out. He said, but the source, if you remain at the source, he said, it never runs out. He says, I am the source. So you will come there where everybody is confused. You come that time where they say there is famine. You come the time where they say there is a recession. That's what they were telling me in my last project. No, man. This part of Israel is dead. As a matter of the people who had the project, they panicked and sold it for me. They lost over $400,000. I said, hey, we're looking to sell it. We are making. They sold it. This place is crazy. the Lord said to me, I told Jeremiah. I said, you see this land of Israel that is desolate now. Everybody is running away. He said, someday, wines are going to grow here. This guy says, so go and buy that land. See, that's what I told Jeremiah. Hundreds of thousands of years ago, I'm telling you, go and do that. We have gone there now. I've built it. I'm making handsome money out of it. See, faith is not risk. It's not risk. See, risk needs fact. But faith needs the truth. And the truth is what God has said. So we begin to live by that. And you have to do it because there are noise. There's a lot of noise coming. There's a lot of noise going. But as you remain focused, you start seeing that. You see, you begin to renew your mind. You begin to renew your thinking. You come to where there's pressure. The way you handle it will be different. Now you are walking with the wise. You're walking with them. It says, that voice will come. You hear a word behind you. He'll be saying, this is what? This is a walk in it. Walk in it. You come to your ear, but you'll be able to hear. But because we don't do because we don't believe what God is saying, because we don't know that God has given us everything and that he wants to help us and that he's in this, and he wants you to, so you people who have children here, every time you pray, you want your children to be richer than you, then you think God wants you to be lower than him? Spend all your money. You're looking for the best school. You're looking for the best. That they did not go there is because you couldn't do it. But God said he can, that all things are possible. He can do it. He says, you will hear a voice behind you. He will tell you, walk in it. Now, other voices will be speaking. Oh, so you understand. But say, you will hear that one. You say, walk. Come on, walk. And then you begin to walk. See, that's what testimony is. Then you walk in there, they say, Abba. So he survived. And not only survived, with flying colors. So walk in it. So whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you do what? You turn to the left. Verse 22. 22. You will also defile the covering of what? Of your graven image. At that time, the things you'll be able to hear these things of this world that think that they are your God. He said you'll be able to defile them. He says you will also defile the covering of your graven images. Those things will be nothing, they'll become dung. And the ornament of your molded images of gold, you will throw them away as unclean things. They won't become things that you look at anymore. They won't be your God. Those things that you call your source, they stop being your source. You defile them. Praise the Lord. So I was doing a final walkthrough. I'm finished for it. I'm doing a final walkthrough in the house yesterday. And the people that are buying, they came. I will finish the walkthrough. And they begin to say, let me tell you something. And I was not being, there's sometimes I say things, and it sounds like it's being arrogant. Sometimes you might declare what God has said. It might sound arrogant, but the Bible says that we do these things in love. So I took gently, and I explained, I said to them, you know, I'm so grateful that you are finally closing this out. But you know, I don't live by your money. I said, yeah, you're going to pay me, and I'm going to live by it. And I said, this deal has been going on since May. People haven't been able to close it. I said, God has kept me. So you can look at things, and when somebody wants to say that's your life, you can tell that person, sit down. You know, I appreciate this thing, right? It's not my life. Don't take it out. Come on, tell me. You become free. You need to be free to follow God. You're not free, you can't follow it. You have to be able to stand and say, I appreciate it. I'm not saying that you're not doing good. But my friend, you're not God. And if you don't want, do what? Pack it and do what? Clear out. And watch my God.